Well, when I was in high school, it was very difficult for me to understand what was being taught in English class. I still have problems with English, but at that time, it was tough. And especially when we went to the feast, and we were gone for a couple weeks, and to get back into that, it was so difficult. So I had a lot of problems. Well, my mom spent some time helping me. And after a while, my English teacher noted that I seemed to be improving. And she, you know, mentioned that to me. And I told her, well, my mom was helping me out. And the first thing she said is, oh, is your mom a school teacher? I said, no, not a school teacher. Oh, okay. It's like she was somewhat dismissive that my mom could help me out and only a school teacher could help me out. But the point of the story is that my mom knew more how to cook meals and how to do laundry. She had a desire to help her kids, for which I'm grateful. Even when I was younger, I couldn't read very well, and I could not speak very well. And so she would find books on phonics, even before phonic training was even heard of back those years ago in the 50s. And again, it was very helpful. Now, I believe we all know, and we would all agree, that in order to cope in this society, we all need to have the basic education regarding reading and writing, you know, arithmetic. But that is physical knowledge. And what is really needed most in this world is spiritual knowledge. So the question for all of us, no matter how young we are or how old we are, how long we've been in the church, or if we're newer in the church, the question is, how well could we help someone who comes to us and asks us, could you explain what this means? Could you help me understand this concept? How well would we be able to do that? How would we fare? So the Bible does give us much information about teaching and instruction. I thought it'd be good to review the value of having a spiritual education. And that's the title of the sermon, The Value of Being Spiritually Educated. Some may feel, well, I'm just too young. I don't have that much experience. I haven't been around. I don't know everything there is yet to life. I'm just in school, or I'm just too young. I don't know everything that way. So some may feel like I'm not that good at it. Or others might feel I'm too old and I can't remember things. In fact, I will read a paragraph and will forget the first sentence by the time I read the last sentence in the paragraph. And that, or maybe I'm the only one that's, maybe I am the only one. But anyway, the point is that sometimes you have problems remembering. So we all have some issues with that. And some may feel that way. But let's notice a couple examples from the Bible. First of all, let's look at two examples of a young person receiving spiritual instruction and also teaching spiritual instruction. So let's first of all go to Jeremiah 1. Jeremiah 1 and verse 4. Jeremiah 1 and verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me, so Jeremiah is speaking, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So God called Jeremiah in the womb. he knew that he was going to use, God knew he was going to use Jeremiah to be his prophet. And then Jeremiah said, I said, oh Lord God, I can't speak. I'm but a youth. But the Lord said to me, don't say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. Whatever I command you, you shall speak. So it was God that was going to instruct and educate him, and then he was to go speak. Don't be afraid of their faces. I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And then we have the whole story of Jeremiah and all that he spoke, all that he said. So we find that he taught God's words. Years ago, when I was going to school, someone asked me, I remember this plainly. We got off the bus, and somebody said, so how come you're going to church on Saturdays? You're not a Christian. And I thought, I can't remember exactly what I said, but I thought I said, well, you know, Jesus Christ kept the Sabbath on Saturday. So even if you're younger, you can come up with an educated sentence. And that was an education I received from not only my parents, but the church, that Jesus kept the holy days. So whatever education we receive from God our Father, which was very clearly stated in the sermonette earlier, very fascinating, interesting, to consider our Father, my Father, our each individual Father. God has given us an education through His Word. And we can use that material to help answer questions, no matter how old we are. Now, another example is when Josiah inherited the kingdom of Judah at age 8. At age 8. Notice over here in 2 Chronicles 34. 2 Chronicles 34. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. Now it's kind of interesting that it's noted his father David, because in the chapter before, we see that his grandfather was Manasseh, and Manasseh was an evil king until he repented later. And then his own father, Amon, was an evil king as well. So it's stated here that somehow Josiah, at age 8, walked in the ways of David. And it says that he did not turn aside to the right hand or the left. He stayed loyal. And in the 8th year of his reign, so 8 years later, he's now 16. While he was still young, he begins to seek the Lord God of his father David. In the 12th year, there about age 20, he begins to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places and of the images. People listened to him. They followed through with him. And they followed his directors, the director, they followed his instructions. So, now, we are not prophets. We are not kings like Jeremiah and Josiah. But that does not mean that a young person cannot understand education that comes from God or be able to explain their beliefs. Now, let's look at two examples of an older person, older people teaching spiritual things. And two of them we'll look at are found in Luke 2, Luke chapter 2. So let's go to Luke 2, verse 25. Luke 2, verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, so he was being educated, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he's an older man. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. He was now going to be able to die in peace. According to your word, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. Now Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, of Jesus. And so again, here you have the story of Simeon, an older man who's inspired by God, the education he received, and he was waiting for this time. And of course, God inspired him to give these positive words. Now let's look at the next example in verse 36 about Anna. Verse 36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. Now she had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. 7 years. This woman was a widow of about 84 years. Let's do some adding here. She was married for 7. She was a widow for 84. That's 91 years. Now, she wasn't married at age 0. So that means back then, people married earlier. And so let's say she was married maybe age 12 or 13 or 14. She had to be over 100 years old, of great age. And what is she doing? What is she doing? She's serving God with fastings and prayers, night and day. Night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So amazing stories of two older people who knew about the truth and spoke the truth. Later, we won't turn there, but in Acts 9 is the story of Dorcas, who was well-liked by all the members in the church. She's very involved in the church. Now, with that in mind, let's look at Psalm 71. Psalm 71, beginning in verse 17. Psalm 71, verse 17. Psalm 71, verse 17. It's more than likely a psalm of David, though it is not identified as such at the beginning of the psalm, like most of the psalms are identified. But notice in verse 17, O God, you've taught me from my youth. Sounds like David. His father Jesse had taught him. And to this day I declare your wondrous works. So here he was young and he knew about God and he declared God. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, and David did become older, and he said, don't forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? And again, as we heard, God our Father. Who is like God? No one. He's our spiritual Father. So here you find that he, in his youth, knew about God, and also when he was older. He was wanting to tell the next generation all about God, the goodness of God, about how wonderful God is. There are dozens of scriptures in the Bible that we're all aware of instructing parents to teach their children. Of course, Mr. Zollner went over all these when we honored the kids for their Sabbath school participation. About parents instructing their children. So the point is that receiving spiritual education has to be ongoing, all the way from the time we're born, all the way up until the time we die. And we can also see that both old and younger people can teach spiritual things based on the education they received. So why do we need this information? Why do we need this spiritual education? Let me give you an example in my case. When I went to Ambassador, I had just turned 18, and I thought I knew the Bible pretty well. I had been in church since age 9. I had sat through hundreds of sermons. I even remember hearing Mr. Meeker speak in Chicago and learned quite a bit. And I thought, my parents taught me and had gone through the correspondence course, and I thought, hey, I'm going to ace these classes. Well, until one of my first tests came back with a 67 on it. Uh-oh. Now, I've kept that test. I've looked at it every now and then, and I look at it, and I think, oh, man. I should have known the answer to that question. I should go back and get a different result to this. But anyway, the point is, I didn't know everything. I still don't. Still learning at age 73. We returned from 3 intensive days of education. Lots of things to consider. You know, you may think, well, you've been around for a while, you should know some of these things. Oh, no. There was something, at least a couple of things in each class that, oh, that's interesting. Didn't know that. Whoa. That's pretty cool. But one of the topics was the need to continue our education in spiritual things. Spiritual thing. There were a couple other things that Mr. Franks brought out, but what I got out of that lecture was the fact that we all need to continue in our spiritual education, especially when it comes to doctrine. Now, the church has had a long history of educational programs in spiritual things. So years ago, Mr. Armstrong was associated with the Church of God Seventh Day. And at that time, the church had printed a book titled Bible Home Instructor. And within that book were sections of information that listed the various doctrines of the church and how to teach your family and your kids the doctrines of the church. And so at that time, Andrew Duggar, who was in Church of God Seventh Day, even pushed for a college to be built in order to train ministers. Later, when Mr. Armstrong started the Radio Church of God, he too realized that need for a college was necessary to provide an education for everyone in the church. The reason being is that he would go out and baptize people. And a lot of people were baptized. So he would set them up in various little congregations, but they wouldn't last. They didn't stay. The reason they didn't have a shepherd to continually bring them along in the education of the Bible. And so he felt that it was needed that a college be built, and that we all know this. Most of us know the story that began in 1947, Ambassador College. Then, after the first classes were graduated, some of those men who graduated were then sent out to take care of these small churches, and the church began to grow at a phenomenal rate. Then, what was most helpful at that time, which be the Ambassador Bible Correspondence Course, began in the late 1950s, I think early 1960s. How many took the 58 lesson course, or at least began it? So quite a few here. It was phenomenal. It went through a systematic way of the doctrines in the Bible. And it was geared to those first learning about the truth. Because as the church began to grow, it was growing from people who've never heard the truth. And they were coming in and being part of the church and learning new truth. And every week, more and more people were coming into the church. And so it was very helpful to have that as an educational tool. And I remember, I thought it was interesting. You take out the lesson, you start copying the scriptures. And that was done back then. We didn't have these computers. You know, we had always wished back at that time you could talk into your computer and let it type. Now we could do that on our phones. You know, type something and it gets a message to somebody else. But still, there's something about writing. So then, in the 1960s, spokesman's clubs were developed within the church areas. And they were formed in various congregations, and there men learned to be nervous. Here, you're going to get up and speak before your peers, and you're going to be a nervous wreck. But they learned. Spiritual things were taught every time that there was a class. And many went through the spokesman clubs. And then as the church continued to grow and the church continued to be educated, then there were more elders and deacons and leaders within the church. And so there was a program called the DELS series. That's D-E-L, the Deacons and Elders Lecture Series. And so again, various lectures went through all kinds of things, doctrines, difficult scriptures, Christian living, counselings, etc. Then there was the need for, we've got to continue to educate the ministers. And so in the early 1980s, the refresher programs were started out in Pasadena. So ministers were brought in for about 3 weeks at a time. And that was a challenge. But 3 weeks at one time in classes can really be a challenge. But anyway, the point is that there was education occurring within the church. Yet, with all that education, with all the education that was going on for the members, all the education that was going on for the local leadership, all the education that was going on for the ministry, that in the mid-1990s, close to 75% of the members that were in the church left for error. After all that. So, with all the groups that are out there, you put all the groups together, and if you count all the groups up that are out there that survived and stayed loyal to at least the basic doctrines of the church, there's only about 40,000 out of the 150 or so that once were coming to church. Something to consider. Now, what happened back then was not new. We find the Bible speaking about heresies creeping in, and you would think, what in the world were people thinking? Let's look at one of them over here in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, verse 16. 2 Timothy 2, verse 16. Shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. What were they preaching? Who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Now, we don't know exactly what they were saying. Of course, Jesus Christ was resurrected, and he's the first of the first fruit. But what about Revelation 20? What about 1 Corinthians 15? What about all those verses and scriptures that were being taught to the people? And yet, here are two guys that came along, and somehow people believed that the resurrection was over, even though they had been educated that it was not over. It's yet in the future. Yet in the future. Then you come to Jude chapter 1. And notice how Jude was inspired to write here, and what he was inspired to write, and how he was inspired to change the direction of what his epistle would be. Jude, verse 3 here. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. Because, you know, he talks about being called, being sanctified by God, about mercy and peace. So he was going to continue about our calling, about the common salvation that we all have. But something was going on. Something was going on. I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Something was happening at this time that he felt necessary. We need to go back to hear some basics here. And then he wrote, he said, certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So you get a flavor of what was happening. Now, there were two sides, battles that were kind of being fought on two fronts. One front was there were some, mainly of the Jewish background, who felt that all you need was the law, and that'll save you. Well, the law is there because that's how God wants us to live, but the law doesn't save us. We know what saves us. It's Jesus. The blood of Christ saves us by, first of all, it's the blood of Christ that forgives our sins, and we're saved by his resurrected life. So you have some who were on that side, and then there were others who were saying, all you need is Jesus Christ. All you need is grace. And they were turning grace into licentiousness, is that you don't need the law. So you had to have the understanding that the law was necessary, but that we're saved through Jesus Christ. And so you had to know, what does the Bible say about both of those issues? And then there was the idea of Gnosticism, the idea that you had to have all this knowledge. The more knowledge you get, and what Jude was saying is, you need to look at what the Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ, taught. Don't deny Jesus' words. Some felt you don't need Jesus' words. And some came up with their own ideas. And so Jesus' words are what needed to be taught. So we all need to be grounded in the beliefs That's why our spiritual education on spiritual issues is so vital. So, not only those of us who are members, but all of us, no matter who we are. I found the classes we had, a couple of them I'd like to, eventually share in future sermons or even Bible studies, but I thought very interesting about, we had some classes from watching world news, to understand the various biases that are out there. And you can't believe everything that's out there. And just something about, we know to watch, but we're also needing to have a balance there. Also, what we're seeing in this country, you can't help but look at news headlines and see there are issues when it comes to racism, when it comes to other challenging issues that are out there that are affecting our kids at school. When kindergartners are being asked to whether or not they really believe they're a boy or a girl. So you have those things going on and other issues that are affecting all of us because we live in this society and the society is becoming immoral. So some very good, helpful points. And then there was one lecture on how to better preach from Paul's writings. From Paul's writings, all of his epistles, some things to focus on. And again, very interesting, which I believe would be very interesting to all of us here. And then we had another one on how to better preach from the Old Testament and the Old Testament prophets. Quite helpful. The object of the whole session was, these sessions, I believe, was the need for continuity in our doctrines. The need for continuity in our doctrines. Now, regarding doctrine, and I had heard this before, but I thought it might be, and it was brought out again. And I thought I'd share this with everyone. And some have wondered, why did Mr. Armstrong leave the Church of God Seventh Day? I'll just pause here a little bit. You might take a little bit of time in your mind to think, why? The Church of God was keeping the Sabbath, and they were trying to keep the Ten Commandments, the laws of God. So why? After much discussion with the leadership, there were these three reasons. Number one, he saw the need to keep and observe the annual festivals of God. He brought in that understanding. It was discussed, and the decision was no. So how do you know? So when you have an absolute doctrine from the Bible, and you realize it should be taught, and people should be living by this, what do you do? Well, he presented that doctrine, and I believe all of us, if we go through all these scriptures about the holy days, we could see they are incumbent upon us to keep. All of them, from Passover all the way through Last Great Day. Secondly, he believed that the blessings given to Abraham should be taught, especially where it included the identity of Ephraim and Manasseh. That Ephraim and Manasseh are the descendants of those tribes, Israel. Remember, Ephraim and Manasseh were the sons of Joseph. And when Jacob blessed Ephraim and Manasseh, let my name be named on them. So the name of Israel was given to Ephraim and Manasseh. So the descendants of Ephraim and Manasseh are, and you can see that through secular history, the United States and the British Commonwealth. He brought that up, but it was not accepted. But that's a truth we could find within the Bible, a very important truth. And then the other reason was that how many resurrections does the Bible teach? Well, Church of God Seventh Day believed in one resurrection. That was it. The first resurrection. Well, what do you do about 1 Corinthians 15 and Ezekiel about all those coming up out of their graves and living in Israel? What do you do about the billions of people who have an opportunity in physical life to understand God's ways? Revelation 20 specifically talks about that second resurrection. So at least there's another resurrection. There's the first, to spirit life, and there's the second resurrection. So even after all of that discussion, there was no change. So those doctrines became very important to be taught. Now what happened is after Radio Church of God began, Mr. Armstrong listed in 1938 a list of 16 fundamental beliefs. And those 16, the list later expanded into 20 doctrines in 1946. Those lists included the three that were not being taught by the Church of God Seventh Day. We now have those 20 written down. We've got a booklet on them. They're easy accessible. The point is, how well do we know them? I mean, intellectually, we know about the Sabbath, we know about the Godhead, and we know about Israel, and we know about tithing. But intellectually, we know what they are. But how well do we know? Could we explain sections of that if we're ever asked? How well would we do? It might be good to just review those doctrines. As members, like members were back at the time there in the early New Testament church, we could be swayed by what's going on or being said in the world around us. If we aren't careful, we could be tolerant of doctrinal drift. There are ideas floating around. Ideas floating around by some who were once part of the church, such as Christ not being with God as the Word, but rather that Jesus was a created being. So how would we explain that? Well, when we go back to what the Bible says very clearly, and then what is stated in the fundamental belief, it's very clear how that could be explained, and the scriptures are given. There's others out there as well. One is that the Passover needs to really be observed on the 15th day. Wait a minute. The Bible says the 14th day of the Passover. The 15th day is the first day of unleavened bread. Are the food laws really still applicable for us as Christians? You'd think that would be over with. Oh, no. Some think that, why not? Why not eat something? Do we know why we don't eat the unclean? We've got to know what we believe and why we believe it. little things that, you know, are out there. There's others. But The biggest challenge, I believe, now and in the future can be found over here in 2 Thessalonians 2. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. It's very deceptive what he'll do. With all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Somehow, for some people, when this comes about, the love of what had been taught to them, the love of the truth, will not last. And we got to make sure that doesn't happen with us. We've seen it can happen. It happened back during the time of Timothy with Jude. We also see it happened not too far in a distant past. So verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions with which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Stand fast with what we were taught. The work of the church continues to be twofold. One is to preach the gospel. That is an educational aspect that God requires of the church to do, to preach as a witness the coming kingdom of God. That's all education, spiritual education. Then, after one is called by God, that person becomes part of the body of Jesus Christ, part of the church. And so the church, in its second fold responsibility, is to teach all of us, to teach the truth of God, and to care for one another. And so that involves continual education that comes from God, Jesus Christ, through the Bible, and through the church. So what must we personally do when it comes to being educated? What must we do? First and foremost, I believe, is we must continue to enhance our example in how we live as a Christian. I want to quote a statement. Well, first of all, let's go to Titus 2. Titus 2 and verse 7. Titus 2 and verse 7 and 8. And again, this is to Titus, but Paul is writing, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. So we could put our own names in here as well. A pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. In other words, our lives are to be a living example of what we learned and what we are learning. So, there's an interesting quote that came from a fellow by the name of John MacArthur. He's a well-known pastor and author. This is what he said. He said, "You are the only Bible some unbelievers will ever read." You. Us. We are the only Bible that some unbelievers will ever read. In other words, they won't read the Bible, but they could read us. And if they see someone who's living a right way, when they come into contact and realize that we don't swear, we don't curse, we don't steal, we don't do drugs, we don't smoke, we try to be kind to people, we leave our homes on the Sabbath to go to church. That's the example. And we must be living that example. So that's one way to what we can do personally in our education is to make sure that our example is healthy. We live what we've been taught, and it comes through with our example. We're human. We all are trying the best. We don't do things perfectly all the time, but I believe we're all trying. I think we're all trying, wanting to try better. Secondly, then, let's go to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. Sometimes we just have to withdraw. Move away from certain thoughts or ideas. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords to godliness, he's proud, knowing nothing. He's obsessed with disputes and arguments over words from which come envy and strife and reviling and evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. From such withdraw. It's not wrong to have discussions and talking about things, or you wondering what about this or what about that. But when someone has an idea and forces that idea and believes that's the idea that must be accepted by everybody, well, I think we need to review these verses here. And sometimes just walk away. I got other things I need to do, or hey, why not? Just change the topic. Just change the topic. That might be helpful as well. In other words, don't allow someone with an idea that they're pushing on you, that's their idea, and they think that the church is wrong on this. Again, I say, having questions is one thing, and having a discussion about a question is one thing, but when one is pushing it and saying we need to be believing this, then that's when we would have to just say, so how's the weather today? Change the topic. Do something. Talk about something different. All right. Thirdly, and this is quite important, don't neglect our own personal spiritual education. Don't neglect the Bible. This is our source of truth. Psalm 19. Let's look at Psalm 19. Verse 7. Psalm 19, verse 7. Psalm 19 and in verse 7. And as we go through from verse 7 to verse 11, look at what is being said. Look at each verse here. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yes, more than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. So many things are being mentioned here about the benefits of learning from God's Word. It converts. It helps us to change. It makes us wise. It helps our heart to be rejoicing. We all need that, especially during times of trial. It's encouraging to us. It enlightens us. It opens up our eyes to how God views things. And by these words, we are warned. We're warned how to live. And there's great reward. The reward is eventually to be in the kingdom of God. Point is, we must do this every day. Read something from the Bible. It's got to be a habit. Some people try to read early in the morning before they go to work. That's good. It kind of sets the tone, and we pray to God and then read something from His Word. But life is so busy. We got so many things we got to do that it is important. Sometimes I've come to the point where I'm ready to go to bed and I think, uh-oh, I didn't read something today. I need to read something from the Bible. Just make it a habit. Make it a determination. I remember someone was saying to me that, I know this is what I must do. I must do this. I must be committed to do this every single day. Every day. The church, thankfully, offers a number of reading and writing plans. They're good. There's some courses, Bible courses, that the church has as well. We've got tons of FI online classes. Tons of them. I don't know if tons is a good word, but we have plenty of those classes. And there's all kinds of Bible studies out there. Spiritual education for us is very important. No matter what our age we are, no matter how long we've been in the church, no matter whether we're young or we're old, there is always something we can learn. So let me give you just an idea, is a possibility, something that you could maybe look forward to in doing in either July or August or both months. And that is, we all know that the book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. So you've got July has 31 days and August has 31 days. So you could take a chapter a day. So on July 13th, I'm going to be reading Proverbs 13. Or on August 15th, I'll be reading Proverbs 15. Now, what you could do is you could go through, just read it in 1 month, and then go back through the second month and just write down some notes of things that you'd want to remember. Or you could do half of a chapter in July and the second half of the chapter in August with writing down some notes. Reason I share that is because I find that helpful from time to time to be able to do that, knowing that, I now know where I am in the month. It helps me in the month figure out where I am, especially when you can't remember the sentence before you. Anyway, let's go on. It just helps. That's one thing. And then, of course, you could and then go into something in the New Testament. Because we need the balance between the both. The world today is in need of spiritual knowledge. As we've heard in the past, this world is so sophisticated that we have the ability to make robots. Robots that can flip hamburgers and pour out French fries. And robots that drive your car. And robots that put satellites in orbit. And they can tell you where you are on your phone, so you know where you are. oh, I guess that's where I am. Oh, I'm right here. Okay. So they tell you, it's phenomenal, the technology that is out there. And as we heard in the past, we can't yet solve our human problems. I was listening to a program, and the guy on he said, it's amazing. It just seems we can't fix things. And I'm thinking, there's a reason why we can't fix things. Because God has been forsaken. God's ways have been forsaken. His laws have been forsaken. It's going to take the intervention of Jesus Christ. We can't neglect the education that we've been given that will eventually be the education in the world to come. So in conclusion, let's look at Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. And let's look at verse 9. Isaiah 11, verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The knowledge of God and all of His truth will be all over the earth. Let's look at the next chapter, Isaiah 12, verse 4. Isaiah 12, verse 4. And in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His deeds among the peoples. Make mention that His name is exalted. So we will be involved in educating. We've been educated now. We will be educating in the future. Sing to the Lord, for He has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. When this happens, this world will receive and appreciate the education, the spiritual education, is what we are currently receiving. They will appreciate it. I believe it's a tremendous blessing of what we've been given in regarding spiritual education. This is what we pray for. It's what we pray comes soon to all. So until that time, we got to make sure that we continue the spiritual education every day in our own lives.